All right, 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, we're talking on the statue of a perfect man, and that's what Sunday school has been for the past four Sundays, and this will be number 5. And we're still just on the foundation of faith, all right? And we haven't got out of that because just in a review, there's one thing we got to understand. As the bride of Jesus Christ, we got to realize, one, we were lost. Right. We didn't just come in the message and get saved.
Right.
Right? You don't just come in the message and it's an automatic process. No, you can. This is the worst place to be if you're not.
Right.
All right, so, and that this here is anti-word. This out here. Because it was born against the word. The word was not, the word did not make this flesh. Right. My mom and daddy made this flesh. Okay? Jesus was the Word made flesh.
Right.
Difference.
Right. That's right.
Okay?
Right.
He was without sin.
That's right.
You and I were born anti-Word, totally against the way the Word was supposed to be.
Right.
All
right?
Right. So, and that doesn't, it's like Brother Branham said, it's a bad thing, but God didn't leave us there.
That's right.
He wanted to redeem us.
Mm-hmm.
He don't want us to try to redeem ourselves.
Amen.
Okay? So, we're born anti-word. Well, even when we're born again, we have the death of the old nature. Not the old soul dies. We're not into the two-soul thing. But the nature of that soul was burned out, just like the earth. Brother Branham in the Future Home, he really... if you'll read the Future Home, to me, I'd rather somebody read the Future Home to get a little understanding than to read any other book. Because he goes all the way through. Starts with the journey of a Christian and goes all the way through. Because remember, you and I, God in Isaiah 40 said that this world was made and it was made to be inhabited.
Right.
Now when God says that, that's eternal.
Right.
So he's going to have some eternal people living on the earth. And you and I come out of that earth which was cursed in the garden. God didn't curse Adam. He cursed the ground that he came out from.
Right.
So everything that was in the earth was cursed. That's why Cain's sacrifice couldn't be accepted. It came from the earth. It was cursed. It was a cursed earth. So, but then remember, Christ come to make a way back. We're buried in corruption, anti-word, raised in incorruption. Well, now you and I are dead in Christ already by the new birth inside. So we are God made manifest inside. But now, memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. That's not born again.
That's right.
That's not born again.
That's right.
You still have evil thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
We have your memory of the old things you used to do. So let's just go on through. Memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination, all those things. We love things we shouldn't love.
That's right.
Okay? So that is a carnal nature still of man. But now God made a provision. Brother Brown said almost verbatim, he said, somehow God comes down through that. Preach it, brother. Sick him. You talking to me? But somehow God comes down through all that and gives you the new birth. Well, then what happens? Brother Brown preached what? Thinking man's filter.
Right.
The filter, the flues got stopped up. Adam didn't have a problem talking to God until his flues got stopped up. Now that's what we've got to come back to, is the restoration of you and I being able to talk to God face to face without condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
Alright? That's what we got to come back to. That's the part that we fell from, and that's the part that we got to come back to. Everybody understand that?
Yes.
That's very simple, basic, you must be born again. But Brother Branham takes the earth and he says, now the Bible says it's a new heaven and a new earth. Right?
Yes.
Old things are passed away. You can bring it to this. All things have become new. That doesn't mean that you physically die and God brings a new person. You're you. When you were born and you were given a body, spirit, and a soul, that's a unit. God doesn't separate that. He doesn't, but like Brother Brown said, I don't believe in transmigration of souls. In other words, putting a soul, your soul over somewhere else. No, when you die, your soul goes in the sixth dimension. Your body goes to the grave. Spirit goes back to God who gave it. Everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to lay this foundation of faith because we got to realize Number one, that we have still a carnal nature. Come on, people. You see these babies?
Yes, they do.
That's proof enough. We're still living in a carnal nature. That's not God's perfect will, but that's His permissive will. To procreate. Okay? But that wasn't His perfect will. His perfect will was spoken word children, just like you and I. Can I finish my thought? Okay. Just because you and I were one day, you know, this Sunday school class only had about 6 people in it at one time. This church only had about 15 people in it at one time.
That's right.
Well, now, Sister Frieda was probably one of the youngest ones to come. Where was she 20 years ago? Where was she 15 years ago? Where was she 3 years ago? I'm just using it for an example. She wasn't here. There was a time when Joshua Dale was not here. He was in me. But he wasn't here where we can see because he wasn't fully manifested. All right? So then here comes Frieda. She appears. Spiritual multiplication.
Right.
Brother Dale is preaching the spiritual seed word of God like was supposed to have happened. And then we as children now being born of God on the inside are sealed, done, just like we said last week. We were talking about the city, about living in the city and outside the city. If you're born again, if you were born again this morning and you die in a car wreck going home, you're just as eternal as Almighty God. Because one speck of eternal life is eternal life. Okay? The ocean is huge. One little tablespoon has got everything in it that ocean. You can say you've got all of the ocean potentially. Potentially. That's why in Ephesians it said you have the earnest of your inheritance. Because the full inheritance is not this thing being corrupt. Full inheritance is this thing back to like the Garden of Eden where you can talk to God face to face. Okay, now what's your question?
No, I just
or comment.
Yeah, happen to think this will never be saved, our flesh. What will happen for us to take that rapture? Is it that the faith in us will quicken this?
That's right. Romans 8 says the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, if it dwell in you, that will be word if, that it will also quicken your mortal body by His Spirit that dwells in you. See, not everybody is not going to be quickened at the resurrection.
No.
This is not going to be a general resurrection coming up. This is going to be a secret. You're not going to walk out there and Brother Tatum and Sister Tatum's laying side by side up here in Lula. The rapture takes place. Well, if you go see it, you'd missed it. But if somebody was to walk up and go, well, they're still in the grave, that's why it's going to be a secret carrying away. God don't have to dig the graves up to get the bodies out. He just takes that soul that can walk through a wall, the real person of Robert Tatum, the real person of Jesus Christ. Remember, He walked through walls, and he had His flesh body. He was glorified. But Brother Tatum's soul is going to come back and pick up that body, come right back up out of the grave. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to disturb one little dust of earth. So it's not going to be the resurrection. That's what a lot of denominational people think. You're going to walk out there and that whole hillside is going to be like blossoms, you know, like caskets sticking up like... No, that's kind of macabre. That's kind of like the world thinks of zombies, you know. Here they come out of the ground, you know. You see this zombie thing? There's a meaning behind that. I'll get to that one day, and I'll tell you what that meaning is. Showed me that meaning.
Let's say you're in the office. You're alive.
Do I?
Say you're in the office working, and you're alive, and that's when the rapture just happens.
You're just going to disappear.
Now, how about somebody like Rachel with a baby? She just leave the baby.
Baby goes.
All babies go to heaven.
That's right.
And I do not believe that God would let that baby stay here. Or you. See, they've got 3 kids. I mean, what would be a God that would take the 2 parents and leave the 3 kids in an empty house?
That's
right. No. They're going with you.
Right.
But now when they come to the age of accountability, 12, 13, 14, and they got to make their decision. If they don't, yeah, they are going to stay here. I was listening to questions and answers yesterday going to work, and Brother Brown said they had that question. He said, will my children be saved? Brother Brown said, if they're born again. He said, if they're not, they won't.
Right.
He said, that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
You can believe for your children and believe for your children and have faith for your children. And I believe if you have real substance faith, Somehow they'll come. It may be a deathbed confession. You may never know it, but that's fine. 10 seconds, 1 second, split second. God saved my soul. Done. Right. Right. Absolutely. So you know, let's look at this as a growth process as you and I mature up the stature of a perfect man. But we all got to start as babies in Christ.
That's right.
Babbling babies. Romans 8 says we receive the spirit of adoption where we cry, Father, Father, Abba, Father. Mm-hmm. What? We're going to wobble around. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall. But remember what we said. That little baby back there, the brother Luis, little Zoe, she's got everything she needs to drive a car.
Right.
She will develop nothing else
extra.
As far as externally. Nothing else. She's got everything she needs. She might need a couple of stacks of papers to sit on to see over the steering wheel. But she's got every faculty. But brother Luis is definitely, if he does, we're leaving. Hands her the keys today and says, here, Zoe, drive us home. But potentially, she can. As she matures in God.
That's right.
In other words, she does not have to grow another arm. She doesn't have to grow another leg. She just has to get some intelligence.
Right.
Knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brother kindness. Temperance we need. We're still driving cars and we still need temperance. Brother Ray, you should have plenty of temperance because you don't drive.
That's right.
Pray for your wife. But that's what we're looking at here. I want us to understand that we're just not revelated just because we're in the seventh church age, and we're revelated because we're up there where it says brotherly kindness. We all start as babies right here.
True.
Faith. It's a big old wide foundation. That's why that there's a lot to be said about it. But you got to have, number one, a desire to want God. Like Brother Brown said, remember last Sunday we read this. The quote before this, where he's talking about pulling his wife inside of him, you know, he said that's the way we should be with Christ. We should want him so much. That, and then he continues on that he says, that's the way it is with Christ. We've got to be so in love with him to when we ask for something and he doesn't give it to us, that doesn't shake us a bit.
Amen.
He didn't say a little bit, he said a bit. It don't shake you at all when you say, God, I got so and so and so and so. He just keeps quiet. Now, Zoe, when she's a baby and she cries, or Eula, we jump, everybody. We want to know what's wrong with that baby. Give it something, give it something. But now, when that baby grows up to be about 10 years old and they still sit in the corner and cry because of nothing, grow up, kid. I'll give you something to cry about, and then we'll know what you're crying about. Okay?
When we see the dead saints raised and among us, Would the spiritual things that we have problems with be over?
Well, let me quote you what Brother Brown said. He said, until the change, this is going to be sticky.
Right.
This is going to be sticky until the moment of the change. Now, kind of getting off the subject, we need to get back down to baby faith. But let me help you with this. When those dead saints come out of the ground, we're going to be right here. A novice is not going to call the dead saints out of the ground.
That's right.
Brother Brown brought us the headstone message, and this is headstone, which is Christ. He's the only one. He is. We are not so big to where we say we're the resurrection, but what we say out from us. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Well, there's not a number two resurrection. He said, I am. But that I am is going to be so much in us here because we got these things working in our life. So when we call the dead saints out of the ground, do you think it's going to bother us? Because I don't think, like Brother Dale, I believe the same way. When the dead saints come out of the ground, you got 30, 40 days. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be changed and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. All right? So the dead saints are going to come out of the ground first. We're going to call them out by the message that we preach, speak. The position that we reach. That's why I've always said this is not just believing the message. There are steps to take, and that's why, if you'll look in 2 Kings, when Elijah was on Mount Carmel, now there was the what? That was the second coming of Elijah. We believe we saw the fourth coming of Elijah, right?
Right.
So it's the same spirit. You take the second coming of Elijah, he goes to Mount Carmel, and those false prophets, preachers, they get on top of the altar, and by the time they're finished with it, it's all tore down. The Bible says Elijah builds the altar back. That's what Brother Branham came to do. He came to restore, not bring us a different message. He came to restore the message. It was the original message. And then once we got to that level, or getting to that level, he came and preached the seals, brought Christ down to where we can unite with him. Okay, so that is a process. Elijah had to put the altar back together. Then he poured water on it. Then he called God down. He wasn't going to call the altar. He wasn't going to call God down with the altar being all messed up.
That's right.
So he had to restore church order. He had to restore our lives back to the position of the faith of the fathers down here, the first church age at Ephesus. Okay, that's what we got to be restored back to. Don't start screaming we've got rapture and faith and we're here. No, that's baby faith. That's just faith to say, God, I accept you as my Savior, and I want you to burn all the old me out and you come in. And you're still going to make mistakes. You're still going to do things wrong. But you're not going to do, like we've always said, now at sanctification, see, that's down here before you even get to faith.
That's right.
All right? So the cussing, drinking, smoking, running around, lying, cheating. Oh, sure, we're all born liars. We tell lies every day. If you don't tell it exactly the truth, it's a lie.
That's right.
All right? But down here at sanctification, all that should already been gone. That's not talking God's going to burn it out at faith. No, he's starting a process to burn it out in sanctification. Water, blood, life. All right? Water, blood, life. Then God starts right back over, and you can still go to justification and sanctification is this higher walk. Brother Brown said there's a higher form, a mysterious part of justification that Luther didn't know. Luther had just enough faith to get him right here. Smoked a pipe, drank a beer, sat in a pub, but that was God. Because it was God on the inside. He was trying to work his way to the outside. But he couldn't get outside because of man's traditions. Remember the capsule I told you about? There's a lot of good medicine inside that capsule.
That's right.
But once you got to put that capsule in an environment to dissolve and get out to do you any good. All right? So that's the same way God didn't limit himself. Man limits God. God never limits himself. We limit what he can do for us. And actually the same thing Brother Branham says, on down a little bit further, and we won't get to it today, but he says we limit these things, in other words. Not a verbatim quote, but he's saying, we are the ones, like Daddy said, hey, he's been hitting this, hit it last Sunday. You have nothing to do with God choosing you. But once he chooses you, your works is your faith expressed. Once he does choose you, he's not going to lose you. But if you can't get rid of that temper and you're going to keep it, bless God, I've just got it, and that's the way it's going to be, that's where you're going to stay. And you're going to have to be purged by dying.
That's right.
There's two things purges you. The word while you're standing here or death. Because the Bible says you're planted. We planted Brother Tatum in corruption. Yeah, his body was corrupt. You could look at it. He was 80 years old. Not in good shape. But that soul of that man is over there protected in that sixth dimension waiting for a time to come back and pick up that body. We don't believe they get a new body. They get that body made new. Because we don't believe in God going to destroy the earth and then bring a whole new earth. No. He's going to bring that body back out of the ground. Quicken it. Make it new. And we're going to see him walk. That's why we got these pictures out here of Brother Tatum and Sister Tatum at 20 years old. Brother and Sister Fawbush at 20 years old. The ones that we got this passed on, 20 years old. Got 15 minutes. That's a 15-minute bell. And we're going to see them in their youth because, remember, we planted them in corruption because their body did not come to a place of purity or perfection. All right? But now when they raise, what are they going to raise in?
Incorruption.
This soul is going to come and pick up the body, bring it out of the ground. We're going to stand in incorruption. Let's just be real honest. Jesus' body was corruptible. I said corruptible.
He had a headache.
It was corruptible. Because he was born in this Satan's domain. When he come out of the womb, he was perfect. He was not born of sex. He was not born in sin, shaping in iniquity like you and I were. But when he hit this environment of Satan, his body, because he looked 50 and he was only 30, what did the scripture say? I'll not leave my servant's soul in hell or his body see corruption. That's why he had to resurrect within 3 days, or the cells would have started popping and he would have started corrupting. Okay? So he resurrected to show us it can be done. Then he walks through the wall with that body and he eats fish and honeycomb. Right?
Yeah.
Fish and honeycomb, that's what he ate. And it didn't fall through the floor. It went into something. He had substance, in other words. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. He had a substance body that could walk through that wall, yet they could touch him. Thomas touched him, right? Put his hand in his side. The wound was open. Put his hand in his side. Right? Okay, so that's what we're going to be when we resurrect. But we've got to come to a place. Everybody's not going to come to that place. Sorry, ain't going to happen. There's only going to... Look how narrow it is up here. There's only a few going to reach this headstone position where they can call the dead out of the ground. It's going to be very few. When Brother Brown said, I doubt 12 in Georgia, I believe he meant 12 to stand at the chains. Not just 12 people that's going to make the rapture. 12 people stand to make the change. Okay? But we've got to first have... Look, let's read this. We've got to be so in love with him till when we ask for something and he doesn't give it to us, that doesn't shake us a bit. Why? And the only way you can do that is become partakers of his divine nature. Then you'll understand the reason he can't give it to you.
True.
Remember, I've always said God's no's are the best yeses you ever get. Because if he says no, he knows that if he says yes, this is what you'll do. But if he says no, you'll do this for the glory of God. All right? And look here, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, escaped it. It's to the church. Them who are in Christ has been exalted above these things. Not he exalted himself. Brother Brown said you can naturally have these virtues, but somewhere along the way God's going to test them. And if you fail, what he say? You got to go back down. Anybody ever remember the old game called Chutes and Ladders? That's what reminds me of the statue of a perfect man. Because you'd get, you had the chutes and ladders, you'd go down the chute, or you'd start up that ladder and somebody knock you off, or you'd get the wrong number and you'd have to go back down. Well, that's to me, because remember, Jacob's ladder. Jacob's ladder to me has two meanings. Jacob's ladder looks like, one, it looks like this. It's a ladder that goes to heaven, and it's got steps on it. And also, remember me talking about it being, it's a DNA strain. What does a DNA strain look like? It looks like a ladder. It's got steps in between it. And that's what you are. And that's what Jacob saw. He saw angels ascending and descending. Not descending and ascending. They were already here. So they were ascending and descending. All right? And that ladder, to me, is the statue of a perfect man. Now, Jacob didn't go up that ladder. But you and I can, because you know what? The word was there for everybody to go up that statue of a perfect man. But it took a prophet to put the rocks back in order. Rock means what? Revelation. He had to put the revelation back in order to bring us to Christ. A true prophet points you straight to Christ, not to himself. And that's what he done. He pointed us to Christ so that we could commune with him, not with Eliezer. It wasn't Eliezer, Isaac, and Rebekah in the bedchamber. Three's a crowd.
That's right.
But Eliezer told her so much of him. So when she saw him, she'd never seen him in her life. We've never physically seen Jesus Christ in our life. But Brother Brown said he'd become so visible among us. What? Through the message that man preached to us, he didn't bring Christ down, we did. Because remember, Revelations 10, 1 through 7, read verse 8 and 9. John is the type of you and I, right? All right? John did not take the book from Revelations 10, 7. He didn't take it from that angel.
Right.
He took it from the mighty angel.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, Elijah had to turn us to Christ. Right? But John took the book from the one that had his foot on the land and on the sea. Now, that wasn't William Branham. That was Christ that he preached to us so visible. Until we took the book from Christ. Because if you take a book from William Branham, you're lost. You're lost. If you just take the book and say, William Branham was my prophet and he got it, and I just got to believe what he said. That's not it, people. He pointed us straight to Christ. Now, if you go to Christ, you're going to turn and see the message of the hour. Can't help it. Seed life comes through the body. You can't get born out there. Like Daddy said, they're dead. Now, when Brother Brown said they were lodges, sorry, folks. They can have these great big campaigns. They can heal the sick, raise the dead. But if they're still Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism, and they're still doing what they're doing, they're dead. They're dead while they're living. You can't go convert a Baptist church anymore because it's a lodge. Brother Brown called them lodges. That's all they'll be. Bible called them dead birds. Right?
And on the point of William Branham, Brother Branham said, if you put a full stop, a period, we call it period here, that's where you organize.
That's right.
It's a comma. It's whatever the Pentecostals had, what right. William Branham brought
that's right.
plus whatever
that's right.
God's doing today.
That's right. Because what's going to happen is, the Bible said false prophets and false Christ would come. Well, now, Brother Brown's dead. He's gone. His voice is over as far as his voice. But the voice is in the bride.
That's true.
But where's the false prophets going to come from? They're not going to come from Baptists because they're false already. They're false already. I'm sorry. Brother Brown said it. I didn't. They're dead. So they're right here. They're dead. There's no way they can come up to be bride unless they accept the word of the hour. That's what he said. Now, the Baptists had the word of the hour, and when they had the word of the hour, when they first started, they had the word of the hour. They were bride.
True.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Luther, Wesley, they bride.
Right.
But now, when they denominated, like she said, and put a period, they died.
Right.
Well, now, when they died and didn't accept no more of that, and they accepted creeds and this and that and the other, they died. And that when you die, there's only one way to resurrect. That's when we go back to what we said, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. If it's not in there, you're going to stay in the ground.
That's right.
All the way through the tribulation, through the millennium, white throne judgment, you're going to come up. Okay?
That's true, yeah.
So everybody okay with that as far as the foundation? The mighty angel came down. Brother Branham explained why he was here. That's, to my knowledge, to bring all of it together. He explained why Christ was here and who he was. Because John, the mighty angel, says, let's read that. Let's read it. Let's just read it. And that way it'll take all your worries away right here. Excuse me. Revelation 10:7. And in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery, there's only one mystery, of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Now look at number 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, saying, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't take it from the seventh angel messenger's hand.
Mm-hmm.
The seventh angel messenger is to bring the mystery of God to a completion.
Amen.
Right?
Yes,
he's supposed to bring the mystery of God, and then we're supposed to take the open book.
Right.
We're supposed to take the open book from Christ.
Yes, sir.
If we just get a knowledge of this message or a knowledge, I was telling him last night, I had a knowledge at 14 years old that Brother Brown was a prophet and that this was right and it was sex in the garden and there's no eternal. I had a knowledge of that. And you know what? That knowledge was right. But I wasn't born again. That was just my outside man agreeing. Like Brother Brown said, he said, baptism, he said, that's just plain. He said, you don't need a revelation.
Right.
But see, the real revelation is to realize that you, John, have to take that book, and it didn't say, excuse me, it did not say that John left some pages laying on the floor. Right? Because
no.
Sometimes we, well, that's just too much to eat there, and that's just a little too much to eat there, and I don't think I'll eat that. I don't really enjoy that.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
John took the whole book and it disappeared. But it disappeared and became John. Come on. And you never see that book again until the White Throne Judgment. And who's there? The book's open again. Which is you and I. God's not got a great big dusty book and he's going to and start flipping through the book. No, he's going to say, Wesley, step forward, bring your people. You judge these people here. Wesley, you bring your people. You judge your people. Pentecost, you come. You judge your people. What? We're in the book. We're in the book. You don't see that book anymore. Sure, it speaks of the book. But you never see this book open until Revelations 19 and 20 when we're standing at the White Throne Judgment. And then what's open? Not a book. You.
That's right.
You go through Walmart. Lady's going to say, God, you never ever came by my path. He'll have about three or four sisters or three or four brothers come out and he'll say, I sent you four witnesses. I didn't send you one, I sent you four. And you denied every one of them, so as you deny them, you deny me.
Right.
Same way with the reverse of that. Sister Christine driving down the road, she has a flat tire. A guy comes by and just don't know her from nobody. Just shows her an act of kindness. Now, he may be a drunk, a thief, a liar, and he may have 10 wives. Never darken the door of a church. But when that book is open, when that book's open, it's going to be written in there that that man showed kindness to that sister.
Yes, right.
And Jesus, that man knows. The environment he's standing in, he knows he's gone because he doesn't have the same spirit because he's being judged. But what a God.
Yes.
Sister Christine, she's so little. She talked more last night than I've ever heard her talk in her life. But that's good. That means she can. But she's standing in the back and she's this little squirrely voice little girl and there's millions of people standing out there and God's getting ready to pass judgment on that man because that man doesn't know who Christ is.
Yeah.
And Christine's going, excuse me, Lord.
Yes.
Excuse, Lord.
Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah.
And he'll hear. He'll say, step forward. Yeah. She'll say, Lord, don't you remember?
Mm-hmm.
This man, one rainy night, changed my tire.
Yeah. Yes, Lord.
And you said
that
a cup of water in my name will never be forgotten on this side or on that side.
That's right.
What a great thing to say, sir, because of this sister, enter into the joy of the Lord. So it works both ways. But we are a witness, and that's what this is. It's Revelation 10:7. It's in the days of the voice. It's what you and I are saying now. Now, it can't be different than what the prophet said. Let's get wrong on that. We've got to say what he said. He said, you say what's on tape, and you say what's in these books, because rapture and faith lays in that. Okay, so as long as we say that and stay in the Scripture, then we're fine. So we're building. I want this to build our faith to where we can say either, well, I know I'm born again, or I know I'm lost. One of the two.
Okay.
But if you know you're lost, then we can, you know, you can work your way up through here, potentially, right? In sanctification, you can get part of this. Because you got to have some virtue, you got to have some knowledge and temperance and patience. You have parts of it, all right? So what I'm not, hallelujah, praise the Lord, get all them kids are screaming.
Yeah, that's right.
But remember, to be considered to have the divine, right here, partakers of his divine nature. You wasn't born with his divine nature. Sorry.
That's right.
You were born with the nature of your mom and daddy and the world. And that was what was molded. But when you become partakers of his divine nature, you've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So in other words, you get a free ride to glory. But God doesn't want us just to stay babies.
Right. Yeah.
I love Deanna like she is, but I don't want her to stay that way. I want her to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
I want her to have a full life. Well, that's what this is. You're just, baby faith is just really inside of you. It's like Brother Brown said, it's like a button. Just a little dot that God wants to start working on. He's still working on me. Then what's going to happen is?
Bless Lord.
But it's not. But now, wait a minute. I can't control my temper. Okay. Then you shut him off right there. And you can't control your temper. But when you just lay it in God's hand, that's why I say it's a birth of the Word. It's God's going to show you where you're at.
That's right.
Well, Brother Bram said you'd know where you're at any time with God. Why? Look in the mirror.
Amen.
Here's the mirror right here. Look in the mirror. And sure, we got to remember, just quickly before we go, we got to remember, though, that if we get sharp with our spouse or sharp with somebody, that doesn't mean you're lost.
That's right.
But what you do after that,
that's true,
proves what, where you're at.
That's right.
Because Jesus got a little angry one time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay? He had a purpose behind what he was doing.
Yes.
But remember, those same people he drove out of the temple, he died for them on a cross.
That's true.
Same people. Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. So he went to the same place for the same group of people. He didn't disclude them and say, nah, them I drove out of the temple. No, I don't want them. No. He said, Father, forgive them all. For they don't know what they're doing. So we'll start with a little more faith next week.
No.
No. I'm going to be at Brother Burley's next Sunday, I guess. He didn't call back last night, but he wanted me to preach for him next Sunday. So we'll, I guess Bob will do it. If he's still alive by this time.
Okay, but you know what? Barbara sent me a text message, but I just got half of it. You know how it'll break into two? And she said, I'll talk to you later. Just you go on if you want to. So I don't know what's wrong with her. And I tried to call her, so.
No, Tanner.
That was good.
Thank you. All right. With that finish. Come on through.